Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Along with Buhner, who's in the house, Kevin Herr. It has been a big day, by the way. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, stepping to the plate by making sure that the gang was supplied with pickles all over the place in a wide variety. Well done, gents.
Kevin has just drained the water cooler over the news break. He got a couple of those hot gherkins, and we're sending out the water company to replenish. They're bringing a fire truck up, a tanker.
You know what's interesting? When the lid says spicy tomato, it really is a spicy tomato. I just found that out.
Kevin, we're not making you hungry. Or Steve, we're not making you hungry, are we?
Oh, boy.
Well, listen, I know you're going to be wheels up from State College International Airport, but what you could do is have the pilot come over here to the Penns Valley Airport in Selins Grove, drop down. We'll have the pickle bar there ready for you.
I think at one point we cross into Ontario.
Is that right?
For the international part,
So, and that's how cold is it going to be when you wheels down out in the Gopher State?
10.
Oh, you're going to be burning 10. The furniture in the hotel room like you had to at that one game.
Was it Iowa?
Iowa or Indiana?
Oh, the Iowa game.
Iowa's the one where he said he could walk out across the river without getting wet.
So wonderful Minnesota in springtime, which occurs in June out in.
Well, it's March. But last night we were going back to earlier about the court stormings. I'm all for it. I think it's great. Again, as long as people just, celebrate with their team and leave the other team alone, I'm all for it. Mike Krzyzewski, though, seemed to coach last night's game with an edge.
Not a happy camper.
No, I mean, I'll give him, obviously, benefit of the doubt. But evidently he did get into it with a fan last night. But something that does have to be addressed is that even though you buy a ticket, that doesn't entitle you to go in there and be a jerk.
That hasn't deterred a lot of people from acting that way. And, it's just one of the things, I think you said it best, that a guy like Mike Krzyzewski knows better than to respond to the inane blathering of a fan who wants to be confrontational or make a name for himself in an odd way.
Well, remember, you're representing yourself and the school as well when you do something like that. I don't care who you are, even if you're just a fan, you're still representing your team then.
Right. Exactly.
Steve, can I tell you?
And if anybody should know, it should be him.
Yeah.
Because look, there in this profession, he is the biggest name. And he is going to be the biggest target. And there's going to be, for whatever reason, jealousy or whatever that goes with it, that people will look at you and they're going to feel like, like they can take shots at you from time to time.
Steve, let me.
And if anybody knows, it's him.
I wanted to point out something that I observed at the Bryce Jordan Center as the seconds were ticking off the clock with a Penn State win assured in those final 10 seconds. The student section right below me, they were waving everybody, their colleagues and friends from the upper deck, to come down to the court to do the storming. And there's some ushers at the upper deck behind the Penn State pep band who refused to let those kids from that area come down. And when the clock hit zero, kids just jumped around them. And these three guys were holding back the horde, just looked at each other, shrugged their shoulders, and said, okay, sorry.
Well, you can't stop it.
No.
You get overwhelmed. That's why I'm talking about the respect for the other team has to be a part of this. because you can't stop. And no matter what they say, it's just hard to do. It's hard to stop.
Yeah. And I don't know. You're right about that $25,000 fine in the SEC. Yeah, somebody's going to be bringing lots of $1 bills and saying, okay, go ahead. You know, here's my one twenty-fifth of a $1,000 fine.
Yeah, how does that fine work? Explain that one to me again.
Yeah, the athletic department gets fined for it.
So the athletic department gets fined for something the fan base does.
Well, they let the fan base know, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. Don't do it.
Still sounds kind of dumb.
They must be the only conference that has that rule that I'm aware of.
Only one I know of, and they instituted this rule in 2004. And that you notice it doesn't happen down there. Now, you don't expect Kentucky fans to storm the floor. The Kentucky fans expect to win.
I mean,
Penn State's going to be playing Tubby Smith in Minnesota, which brings back the Tubby Smith story. Tubby Smith goes out in his first season at Kentucky, wins the national championship. And Dick Girardi had gone down to do an interview with him for the Philadelphia Daily News. And when he went in there, there were some Kentucky boosters there, and Dick happened to be sitting right there when they talked to him. And he said, now, Coach, I just want you to know you lost a couple of games at home last year at Rupp Arena, and you know darn well that is not acceptable here at Kentucky. Now, he had just won the national championship. Okay, he didn't win the state championship. He won the national championship, and they are upset with him about losing a couple of home games. That's how they get down there about their basketball team. They're not going to storm the floor.
No, I saw Kentucky play in the East Regionals at the Meadowlands more than a few years ago, and I was in the Kentucky fan section, and they consider it a matter of birthright that they will be in the Final Four. And it would actually be, in their mind, beneath them to do something as mundane or as pedestrian as rushing a floor. Why would you when you're supposed to win? There's just an attitude in Kentucky that's unbelievable.
Yeah, they expect it.
Yes, and, they do.
You know, which is fine, because Penn State fans in football expect to win, too.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you end up with a bitter lesson about how difficult it is to win, okay? And Penn State football fans had that in the early 2000s. Like, wow, you know, it really, it's a lot harder to win than we realized.
Yeah.
It's not automatic. And so, you know, and the same thing, Kentucky found that out a little bit when in the early 90s when they were on probation, and then they had and he brought that group in there, Farmer and those guys to help turn the program around. I mean, that's the group that took Duke to overtime in Philadelphia, the 105-103 game that Leitner hit the shot. Richie Farmer and those guys.
Hey, speaking of winning teams, there's a winning team up the Susquehanna River West Branch, Bucknell. Final game of the regular season down at Navy tomorrow.
Well, what's interesting is it's going to be back-to-back games with Navy.
Yes.
They're going to play Navy down there, and then they have to come back in a 1-8 game and open up the quarterfinals of the Patriot League tournament against one another at Soica.
And, you know, how do you coach that game Saturday if you're Dave Paulson, knowing you've got to turn around in 4 days and play the same team when it really counts?
Oh, you just go out there and play. I think that what we found out, and I think that one of the greatest lessons we ever saw was the first of the two Eli Manning Giants Super Bowls. And that was the fact that on the final night of the season, it was the night Penn State played the Alamo Bowl game against Texas A&M. The Patriots closed out the regular season that night by playing against the Giants. Well, the Giants decided they had the playoffs wrapped up. They could have easily just, okay, we'll do whatever, and we'll be fine, and we'll just get ready for the playoffs, and we'll rest some people. The Giants decided to play it out, all out. In the end, it benefited them exponentially. And I think it showed everybody that the best thing you can do is to play it out. That when you start playing it conservatively, and you start resting people, and you kind of give it away a little bit, everything about sports is, look, you know, pedal to the floor, do what you can to score as many points as possible and get it done. You have to be – now, there are different ways of going about it, but in the end, everybody is essentially aggressive. They just do it in their own way. If you start playing it close to the vest, conservative, it then brings that mindset into your team. You can't do that. I think Dave's got to coach the thing in such a way where you go down there and you just look at him and say, look, you have no chance today. You're going to have no chance in the quarterfinals.
Let's put them out of their misery early, get up by 20, and see what happens.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Let's say that Bucknell handles things really well in the first half. Would you think that Dave Paulson would go to the bench a little bit more often or maybe a little deeper in the second half earlier?
Depends on the score.
Well,
I mean, it just depends on the score, which would be like any other game.
But I also like what you're saying, though, is you know, put it to them right away and get it, you know, put it to them the entire game so when they come up next week in the tournament, they have that in their mind already.
Right. I mean, you look at them and say, look, you know, we just played them at home. We didn't beat them. What are going to be our chances up there?
And you know Soika is going to be rocking Wednesday night because for some reason, Bucknell students who can't find the Soika Arena during the regular season all of a sudden turn out in what seems like thousands, and they're very noisy the playoffs.
It's not a sellout yet. There are still tickets available, and you can go online to the box office at bucknell.edu and still get tickets for that game.
And Steve,
well, you know, my advice to the people around there when it comes to a game like this, oh, yeah, we'll wait for it. Don't wait.
No.
You have three more games with this team at home. You want to help them get to the NCAAs? Ensure it by getting there and helping them out.
You know, it's one of those things I'm never like to say never, but we may never see the likes of a team like this at Bucknell for a few years because this is just great. As you have talked with Dave Paulson so many times, this is a great team. Mike Muscala closing in on 2,000 points. I think he needs about 30. He needs 11 or 12 to become the all-time leading scorer in Bucknell history. Guy, a great player, Al Leslie, holds that record with 1,973 points. I think Mike is around 1,960-some. Bryson Johnson, our friend from the north country of Canada. We may have to get O Canada out and for a few playoff games. And Joe Willman, the workhorse, kind of quiet journeyman guy who gets you 10 rebounds or 10 points when you need them. This core group is just incredible, and potentially three more times to see him play at Soika.
Bob, how does this team, do you think, match up with the 05 team that beat Kansas?
It's a very similar team in that Chris McNaughton was the big star.
Right. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Versus Muscala. Charles Lee was the star of the team. It was his team. Betancourt was a great point guard. They had a couple players that were sort of pivotal role players, but they depended really on Charles Lee and then McNaughton inside. It was a two-man team. This is a four-man team.
Yeah, Penn State played them that year.
Yeah, that's right. It's a four-man team with a better three-point shooter also in Bryson Johnson, and also when Cameron Ayers gets hot.
Yeah, Johnson and Muscala are the big difference in those guys. You can talk about other positions, but Muscala is a superior inside guy that they really didn't have then compared to the skills that Mike brings, and Johnson's three-point ability is something you can't put a price on.
Well, he's, you know, only the all-time leading three-point shooter in the Patriot League, so that's pretty good credentials. He's up around 310 for his career. So, yeah, Bucknell at Navy. You know, Ed DeCellis, obviously, Steve, you know him well. He hasn't thrown in the towel on this game at all.
Well, look, you have to remember, this is a military academy. Okay? They get up every day when it is pitch black. They go through more during the course of the day. There is no college student that has any complaint next to a military academy student. And they are trained for something completely different than a university student. They are being trained mentally different as well. So you're going to face a mentally tough, physically tough basketball team because they are trained differently than anybody. You know, when you face Army, Navy, Air Force, it's you're facing different people.
Yeah.
Eh? That have different training and different goals.
On a bad day, they are mentally tough. On a bad day, they are physically tough. On any given day, they will never, ever, ever quit.
Right.
So
exactly.
That does give a coach a bit to work with, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, and Ed loves being around. I've talked to Ed enough about this. Ed loves being around the culture down there.
Sure.
He loves it. Now, he gets 2 hours a day with them. Okay? That's what he gets. He gets 2 hours a day. So he has to be judicious as to what he does. Last year, he's holding practice, and one of his players shows up, and he is soaking wet. I mean, drenched. And Ed looks at him. He says, you know, in typical Ed way, he says, oh, what's your deal? He says, I was in the river doing seal maneuvers all day. I'll be right out. That's who you're dealing with.
And don't you think they're going to take a little bit of an inspiration from the Penn State win over Michigan Wednesday night when they say, look, if Penn State can beat a Michigan team, and they were 0-15 in the Patriot League, or in the Big Ten, look what we are in the Patriot League. We can beat these guys.
Oh, everybody, you know, TCU was a bigger upset, okay? I mean, that's something Mike DeCourcy pointed out, and I've tried to point out, too. That was a bigger upset. Penn State, the way they played the last 2 weeks, I felt they had a shot going in based on what I watched the last 2 weeks and after watching Michigan in person. But, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to say, look, this is our time. This is our turn. I mean, next week, everybody starts 0-0. Okay? Everybody is 0-0 next week. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Brewery Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $17,999. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,999. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. And a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $16,997. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Pickles, pickles, I like pickles. Don't you know they make
my tummy
pickles?
Pickles, pickles,
I like pickles.
Won't you give me a
pickle?
Well, you got plenty of them today.
We've gone through 5 quarts and 15 gallons of water here in about the last hour.
Well done.
It is. My wife will not allow me in the house. I can tell you that right now. Are we making you hungry, Steve, on your way to Minnesota? Will you eat on
very
the plane?
Very much so.
Oh,
very
sorry.
Much so. Yeah. And no, we will not eat on the plane.
They don't serve a meal on that plane?
No.
Wow. You need to get a better transportation system.
Well, no, they have it set up in such a way where the players have a training table and then they have a snack set up when they get there. And that's how they try to do it. There's an eating schedule they have to be on. They're better off staying on that schedule and eating in the hotel than they would be eating on the plane, which, you know, they should just rest.
Sure. I wanted to tell our listeners my story with Bob segment. It's a new one for today only. And, Steve, I wanted to tell everybody about I had the great opportunity to go up to Penn State on Wednesday. We did the show from the Bryce Jordan, and I met you outside about 2:45 for the 3 o'clock show, and you had mentioned to me how you're able to talk your way into basically any arena. So if I got stopped going into the Bryce Jordan because I didn't have any press credentials, I knew how to get in, and you would advise me just to say what works for you, which is simply you go up to a media gate at any stadium, and if you don't have your credentials or you left them somewhere, you just tell everybody, I'm with Jack Ham, and
exactly.
Voila, the door is open magically, and in you go. And so Wednesday, as I got in, we went to the parking lot, in through the side door, went to the checkpoint, and gentleman approached me, a security guard, and said, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'm here with the media. I'm with Jack Ham. Mm-hmm. And he said, go right on through. And as I looked at you when I said, I'm with Jack Ham, and he said, Jack, did you shave your beard?
There you go.
And it works every time. So
every time.
I'm with
Jack. I talked with him for about 15 minutes today.
What a great character to be able to have an ongoing weekly conversation with.
That's funny. Oh. I went to the spring game, and I said, I'm going to the booth with Steve Jones. And they said, who?
Oh, Jack
exactly.
Ham.
And I said, no, Jack Ham. Oh, well, in that case, please. Have a nice day, Mr. Hurt.
Well done. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They sponsor us here on Fridays here at News Radio 1070 WKOK. News is next with Sarah Bartlett. And welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Bob Buehner, Kevin Herr. We thank Mike DeCourcy for being with us in the second half hour of the show.
And a big shout out to Corey from Brewers Outlet, the man and the pickles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they are, honestly, Steve, they're just so good. I can't overstate it enough. Makes me thirsty for adult beverages when we leave the air.
Yes. Well, I guess next trip in, I guess I've been promised some, huh?
Yes, you have. He was very disappointed that you weren't here to get him in person, so he promised.
I wasn't disappointed, though.
He promised that on your next visit down to the mountaintop that there would be a pickle festival.
I like that very much. Kevin has Shikellamy Milton tomorrow night. Kevin, what makes that an intriguing matchup between the two teams?
I think the interesting thing is you neither team really has the dominant inside guy. I do think that Deegan, who did not play as much in the Athens game, will see a little bit more playing time. He's one of those guys that if he gets comfortable, though, and gets into a zone and starts posting up often, being not a real tall guy, but a big-sized guy and really, I like to say, beefy and in a good way, I think he can be a real, real difficult task for Zach Herbster as well on the Shikellamy side. I think that'll be a fun matchup to watch. I think both teams have an interesting outside game. I think Shikellamy's might be just a little bit better. And even though C.J. Tyler has been struggling the last couple of games with his shooting, one three-pointer may have changed that whole complexion of things for him.
Certainly increases the confidence level.
Coaching-wise, both of these coaches are solid. You know, we've had Coach DeLong here on the program as well as Tim Four. Both of these guys know the game inside and out, and they know each other very, very well. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how these two teams match up here on Saturday night at Shamokin, a neutral site. Milton won at Shikellamy early in the season, then Shikellamy won at Milton later in the in the season. So, you know, the rubber game on a neutral site, it's the way it should be.
So that'll be a lot of fun. That is going to be tomorrow night. It was going to be tonight originally, but they moved it back to tomorrow night, which is, that's fine. In the end, I mean, would I have done that? No, I'd have kept it on the same night, but that's okay.
Another big thing going on, Steve, of interest to a lot of folks in the central Susquehanna Valley is the Northeast Regional AA Tournament up in Williamsport, starting in a few minutes. It's the final stopgap on the road to Hershey. And the top three wrestlers in the 14 weight classes will be down in Chocolate Town next week for the state championships. And this is another banner year for local kids. It's conceivable that District 4 could end up with seven state champions in 14 weight classes. That's sure. how good it is. One of the ones that is of particular interest to Penn State fans is Zane Rutherford from Benton, a Penn State commit. He'll be with the Lions next year, a world champion, and undefeated this year, looking real good. Another one is Ryan Solomon over from Milton, a defending state champion, on his way to Pitt. In his matches so far in sectionals and districts, nothing has lasted more than 50 seconds. He's that dominant. Amazing. So Mifflinburg has a potential state champion or two in the Walters brothers, from Southern Columbia, Kent Lane. From Mifflinburg, Nasir Mironenko, the heavyweight. Yeah,
Mironenko is one I had on my mind as well.
Yeah, he's looking rather dumb. He's had some close matches with guys his size, but has always prevailed. And a run-on football player for Penn State next year from Lewisburg, Brandon Smith, has been lurking around the top part of the podium at Hershey. Finished fifth last year, but another dominant player. And Steve, when he comes to State College and University Park campus next year, when you get to meet him, you're going to like him. He is one fantastic person. No one will work harder. No one will give less than 100%. That's Brandon Smith. And he's got a great chance to be on top of the podium, fifth last year.
You know, I'm sorry. You mentioned Brandon Smith, and I remembered that we hadn't mentioned that Michael Wyand from Mifflinburg is also now going to be running on at Penn State. He had looked at a couple of schools, I believe, including Bucknell at one point.
Yes.
He's now going to be a run-on for the Nittany Lions.
And the thing about Wyand is that he did not play this year.
That's correct.
He had a pretty nasty injury, so he sat out. And so no one really – he's not on anybody's radar screen in terms of what did you do your senior year in football. But he's a player and a half, too.
Athlete.
Yes.
An absolute athlete.
Oh. So lots to look forward to and see when the dust settles Saturday night whether District 4 continues to dominate the regionals. Normally only about two or three kids from District 2 and 12 actually get through the District 4 juggernaut.
And District 4 in the AAA side is going to have another tough task as they head to Altoona starting in the next few minutes with the Northwest Regionals.
Northwest Regionals, yes.
Oh.
And Steve Williams will be standing by. He'll have updates in sports through the day tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we were scheduled to broadcast the Northwest Regional Finals, but because of the change in date and time for the District 4 Basketball Finals, we'll have that instead, and Steve will join us from Altoona with updates there on how the District 4 wrestlers are doing. And then next Saturday, depending on what happens, it appears as though we will have plenty of District 4 wrestlers in the state tournament the next weekend, and we'll likely bring you the AA state championships in the afternoon of the finals with Steve Williams. If there are more AAA wrestlers from the area involved, then we'll go to the AAA side later in the evening.
Good. It's an exciting time of the year, and the Big Ten Wrestling Championships will be next weekend in Champaign. And then 2 weeks after that will be the NCAAs.
Do you think the Nittany Lions will be showing up in Champaign?
Well, you know what? I know Iowa beat them in the dual meet. Penn State's a better tournament team than Iowa.
They are.
In fact, they will rack up significant points. In fact, Minnesota might be a better tournament team than Iowa. But Penn State, you know, if they wrestle to what they do, then they will win.
The interesting thing about Penn State wrestling as a fan is the number of Penn State fans that travel to the Big Ten tournament and the number of fans that go on to the NCAAs. No matter where it's wrestled, Steve, it seems like it's a home crowd for the Lions.
Well, they're the show in wrestling. I mean, they are the show in college wrestling today. Everywhere they go, they draw the biggest crowds. Somebody said, I heard somebody, it was on the Big Ten Network. It was during a match Penn State. I think it was the Penn State-Iowa match. And they said, well, you know, some people say that it's a dull style. That's what's drawing people. They're exciting because they go for it. He tells his kids to go for it. And that's the difference. He doesn't wrestle conservatively. In fact, I watched Iowa. I think Iowa style is boring beyond words. I think it's dull. You know, they keep wrestling not to lose, and then they pick a moment and they score.
Yeah. They,
okay.
Yep. Counterattack, ride the edge of the mat, pick your shots carefully, and if you're not certain, then step out of bounds. I think Dave Taylor and Ed Ruth, Quentin Wright, all those guys. The word is relentless. And to add to that, this Zane Rutherford from Benton wrestles that same style, which is why I think everyone in Benton and District 4 expects big things out of him. But I think we expect him at Penn State, not the winning the state championship is just part of the deal. But he will fit in so well as a line next year. I just hope they have a spot in the lineup for him. That's,
well,
that's a big problem.
As time goes, spots open. So I'm not gonna, you know, I wouldn't sit there and worry about it right away.
No,
you know, it's guys get redshirted along the way, and if that happens to be the case, hey,
yeah, it's worked for the Alton brothers from Locke.
It's worked for a lot of people.
Yes, we consider them really local, even though they're from Lock Haven, kind of a little bit
right
to the west, but not that far west, so yeah, we don't consider them local.
Mill Hall. Yep, Mill Hall. All right. Today's show is from the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, where it's 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove on routes 11 and 15. You can go to www.hilscherstore.com. And, of course, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 1-800-795-9565. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing, Dave?
Okay. Is Bob still in the house?
I'm still munching on pickles, Dave.
Well, Bob, first of all, at 141, that kid's a senior.
Okay, for Penn State, you're saying.
Right. And the weight just down below him, the redshirt freshman at Conway, but Jimmy Gulabong's taking a redshirt.
That's right. Yeah, there's... It's going to be a challenge for Zane Rutherford to get in the lineup, I think, first year. And the question with all incoming freshmen at a program like Penn State is, do you join the team right away or do you take a red shirt year to sort of move up to that more physical style of wrestling where you're wrestling tough wrestlers in and out? You're not wrestling, you know, 14-year-old high school freshmen on a somewhat regular basis. You're wrestling 22-year-old men.
Yeah, well, last year he went around to some of those tournaments that had the older guys in it, and he still held it well.
Yeah, he's just a great wrestler. There's no question about it. He's exciting. He has a very open style that I think plays well into the Penn State style and manner of coaching. We're going to hear good things about him in the next couple years at Penn State, I believe, if barring any injury or unforeseen difficulties.
Well, I'm a little concerned about the first guy because I don't know if he can get down to that weight again the way he's growing.
Always a question with wrestlers, trying to maintain that weight.
Because he's got some upper body now.
Well, the big thing that's changed in wrestling college and high school is the intense medical scrutiny over weight loss. And
yeah,
you can't do that anymore. Like, I remember going from 145 to 127 wearing these rubberized suits and taking hot showers for 2 hours at a time to lose
mm-hmm.
weight and then all of a sudden gain it back. Those days are long gone.
Well, that's when I got I think that high schooler, Chance Mostadler, going down to 160.
Okay.
He said he was with ounces of not making weight.
There's a couple kids. One kid, I forget, who was a returning district champ, missed weight at like 106 last week.
Yeah, wasn't he a regional champ or something like that? He's high.
Yeah, and he just missed. He's gone.
He's gone.
And that's the challenge of wrestling, not only the mental toughness and the discipline, but the sacrifice and weight loss.
Well, I said, I'll hang up and listen to see who else can call.
Dave, thank you. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. As we roll on here on this Friday afternoon, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Miami Duke coming up tomorrow, Penn State at Minnesota. So a lot going on.
Isn't that Jim Larranega one of the great college coaches that almost no one heard from until he went to Miami? I followed him at George Mason. What a great guy.
He's a really great guy to be around. I've been around him a couple times. I like him very much. But he is a heck of a basketball coach.
Yeah. There was a fellow from State College in Norwood who played on the George Mason
Gabe
team.
Gabe Norwood.
Yeah, who
Gabe
went
Norwood
to,
played for him. Yep.
I sat two seats away from Mrs. Larranega at the East Regionals down at the Verizon Center. And when George Mason upset UConn to go to the Final Four, Jim Larranega was being chased by cameras and microphones, ran up the steps to hug his wife before he said a word to anybody from the media. Just a great guy.
Yeah. And a great basketball coach. He has them playing. Until they got hit Clemson, they were a really wide-open style. And then they kind of dumbed it down a little bit. But you know what? That goes back to something I talked about in the first half hour of the show. When people start talking about teams that can win the national championship, I believe you have to be a team that has the ability to change gears. And when I mean change gears, that you can play at two different speeds during the course of the tournament. Maybe even sometimes play two different speeds during the game. When you're the ability that when a team tries to grind it down on you, that you have the ability to grind it out with them, but you also have the ability to go out and attack and run and try and do it that way. I think that there are just certain teams that can play at two speeds. Gonzaga can play at two different speeds. Indiana can play at two different speeds. I'm not sure Michigan can play at two different speeds, to be frank with you.
Didn't look like it the other night.
Michigan State can definitely play at two different speeds. Wisconsin cannot. All right? So there's certain teams that can play that way. Gonzaga can. I think Kansas does not like it when the game's ground down. I really think they can play at two different speeds. Duke does not want to play at two different speeds.
No.
But I'm telling you, there's several teams, Gonzaga, Indiana, Michigan State, they can play at two different speeds. Wisconsin does not play at two different speeds. Michigan, I don't think can. I don't think Michigan can slow it down. Just like Wisconsin can't speed it up and get the game into the 80s, Michigan cannot slow this game down and win the game by being down in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s. I think they need to have the game in the 70s to win games. I think Duke needs the game to be in the 70s to win. You grind them down, you take the pace out of it, you suddenly have Duke at a disadvantage. Gonzaga can win a game in the 40s. Gonzaga can win a game in the 50s, and Gonzaga can win a game in the 70s and 80s.
Hey, Steve, Kevin has stopped eating pickles so he's prepared for his rant if there's time. He has stopped eating pickles.
Well done.
it's a rather simple rant today. It involves Roy McIlroy, who actually walked off the course at the Honda Classic after hitting a ball rather poorly. Now, understand that he did not have the best day, including almost getting a snowman on the 16th, which, by the way, is enough for me to make me happy that I get a snowman on a hole like the 16th. But nevertheless, Roy was 7 over going into 17. On the 18th, he hit a shot and just decided that was enough and walked off the course. And, of course, that created reporters following him, asking if there was anything wrong physically, and he said there wasn't. And he said as he drove away, there's really not much to say. I'm not in a good place mentally. Okay, there's no problem. I have no problem with him walking off the course if he feels he's not, he's bringing the players down around him, and that's something that he did mention in a statement later. If he feels that he's not up to, pardon the pun, up to par, then he should be able to be walk off the course and just say, listen, I'm bringing this tournament down. Now, the PGA Tour gave him 14 days to provide a doctor's note. That's right. He has to get a note from the doctor saying that he couldn't continue to play to avoid a fine from withdrawing from the tournament. Now, the reason he withdrew from the tournament, he said later in a statement when he apologized to the Honda Classic and the Tour, he said he had been suffering from a sore wisdom tooth, which is due to come out in the near future. It began bothering him last night, took something for it. It was very painful again this morning, and he just wasn't able to concentrate. He said it was really bothering him. It was affecting his play. It was affecting the play of the people around him as well. Ernie Els, as a matter of fact, one of the guys that was around him, didn't even know he left until he took a drop on the 18th and realized that Rory came up to him and said, here's my card. I'm out of here. So my point is, what's the big deal? Rory walked off the course. You know what? He is getting way too much attention for a guy that has 9 wins, 2 majors, and has missed 26 cuts. He's a streaky golfer. You know, if you want to try, everybody's comparing him to Tiger Woods. Well, guess what? The numbers don't match yet. Is Rory a good golfer? Yes. Should he be under the microscope that he is right now? Absolutely not.
Well, he's played better the last 3 years than Tiger Woods has.
Understandable.
Probably. Yeah.
And Dr. Buehner would be glad to write that doctor's excuse for Rory. I just sign off right away.
I mean, you need a doctor's excuse to avoid a fine?
I've got a doctor's degree. I could write it.
Well, look, people pay to the tournament. When they do the marquee, okay, his name is on the marquee, all right? And that's part of what we're seeing. If somebody else along the way say Viegas did.
That was going to be my point.
He wasn't going to make the cut.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and I think they also know he's not going to make the cut. So he's not going to be on the weekend. I mean, they know that. He's not going to make it.
Would anybody care if this were the 444th guy on the PGA list of golfers right now that just walked off the course? No.
Nobody, but he's a name that they were going to put in the marquees. He's a major champion.
And it's money.
But as you said, he wasn't going to make the cut anyway.
Right.
Steve, you have a plane to catch, don't you?
I have a plane to catch. I'm all set to go.
You don't have your pickles, though.
That's okay. Next time through, I will. All right. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Go catch that plane. Run fast.
Yep. I will. See you.